Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning, 906 on KDXU. I'm Andy. We want to jump into this commercial break real quick because I've got Larry Myers on the phone. Larry is the delegate from the state of Utah and out there at the Republican National Convention. Larry, how are you?
Good, Andy. Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Thank you so much for coming on today. How's your experience been out there in Milwaukee?
Well, it's been really good. They've put together a wonderful convention, lots of powerful messages about what the Republican Party and Donald Trump have to offer for the future, and just a lot of great activities. And then, of course, it was made extra powerful by what happened last weekend and the fact that we've just got to change direction our country's going.
Describe to me, Larry, if you will, the feeling in the arena and the feeling you felt yourself when Donald Trump walked in yesterday. I think it was Monday. Anyway, walked into the arena with the bandage on his ear.
Yeah, he actually has come each day. I don't think that was originally planned, but after the assassination attempt, I believe he felt like he should come and be with the delegates and show America that he will not be silenced. And so I think there was admiration for his strength to be able to come and join us after what had happened. And I think there's a lot of love for the sacrifices that he's made. And of course, people were just excited to have the candidate there. And the first day they announced his vice presidential pick, J.D. Vance, and I think people were happy with that. And so it's been excitement combined with a lot of admiration and I think respect for Donald Trump.
Tell me about the Utah delegation out there in Milwaukee. How many people are there from the state of Utah? I think I saw Mike Lee was there.
Yeah, Mike is the head of our delegation, Senator Lee, and he announced our votes to nominate Donald Trump. I think if I've got my numbers right, we have 40 official delegates, and then we also have alternate delegates, and we have family members and sponsors. And so we've got a pretty good crew, and everybody gets along well. We're from all parts of the state. And we're just enjoying the process and the purpose of nominating President Trump.
And by the way, if Don Guymon gives you any guff, just whack him upside the head. Don and I are old buddies from college. So, in fact,
yes,
he was my assistant sports editor. Yeah, Don's a good guy. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
All right. So the two people in the last couple of days were talked about and gave little speeches, J.D. Vance, but then Nikki Haley, two people that were critical of Trump in the past. What are your impressions now on their feelings? I know Nikki said she fully endorses Donald Trump.
Well, along with pushing Trump's America First and Make America Great agenda, along with that, I think the number two thing that the Trump campaign wants to do is try to unify the party, unify the country, say, now we've had the battles, it's time to come together. And so he invited pretty much all the rivals from this year's primaries, those who ran in the primaries, to come and speak. And I think they did a good job. You know, everybody endorsed Trump. They gave their full support, and they talked about his agenda. And so I think everybody appreciated that, and we need to be unified going into the general election.
What one thing not politically related, or maybe it is, I don't know, but you got to, I understand, tour the Harley-Davidson factory. Is that right?
Well, it's essentially a museum.
A museum. Nice.
Yeah, a museum. So it's got the history of the Harley-Davidson company and examples of all the motorcycles from the very beginning up to the modern times. And so it's a beautiful display. It's really interesting. And they've just our delegation has had great tours and great food. And we've enjoyed the process along with doing our business.
Now, former President Trump is scheduled to speak tomorrow evening, I think evening, right, tomorrow sometime. What do you expect to hear from Donald Trump?
I think we'll hear the usual Donald Trump. He'll stick to the script that he's written up, but I think he'll also let loose. I think he is going to deliver a powerful message about the harm that's happened to our country under the Democrat control and how he's going to turn things around. He's got a 20-point plan. and he's going to push forward with that. And if we do these things, it'll be a much better country for everyone is going to be what he's talking about.
He's Larry Myers from the Republican National Convention. Larry, thanks for coming on for a few minutes, and good luck with the rest of your week out there in Milwaukee.
Thanks for having me, Andy. Have a great day.
All right, see you later. It is 9-11 on KDXU. We'll be right back. Sean Christensen and Aaron Bergquist are here. We'll talk something happening, I think, today, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Andy Griffin Show, 914 on KDXU. Sean Christensen from the St. George Area Chamber of Commerce is here. Hi, Sean. How
are you? Good morning. Good.
You brought a guest with you.
I did.
Police Officer Aaron Bergquist. Now, are you a sergeant or are you a lieutenant? Do you have a rank, Officer Bergquist?
Yeah, lieutenant.
Lieutenant. Okay. He pointed to it like I would know it. I'm sorry. I don't know the language. But, yeah. Lieutenant Bergquist. Okay. Well, thank you for coming on, Lieutenant Bergquist.
You got it. Glad to
appreciate
be here.
It. We love America in Washington County. This is America's county, right? All American. We love it. Got the 250 project. Victor Iverson talked about it yesterday. You guys are going to get involved in the America 250 project coming up in a year and, well, almost 2 years from now. Country will be 250 years old and we'll be leading up to that. That'll be cool. And I guess you have a program coming up with that, like to get people to tell us about it, Sean.
Yeah, yeah. The chamber's all in on that. So, we are working with the county. We're working with United We Pledge and several other organizations mm-hmm. to put together a celebration. It's going to be about an 18-month celebration.
Nice.
And so the shot heard around the world on April 19th. Mm-hmm. We're talking about sometime around there doing our kickoff. And that will be in 2025. So then we will have a 18-month celebration all the way up until July 4th, 2026.
Yeah.
So the chamber, part of what we're doing is we're going to run a contest. Details are still working themselves out, but it'll be around company logos and incorporating the America 250 logo. There's actually an official logo out that's been put out. And so incorporate that logo into their logo.
So that logo, you didn't design that logo. Mm-hmm. I thought that was you, man. I was like, way to go, Sean. I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, that no. That okay. 250 logo was designed by, like I say, on a national level. And
okay,
then,
so some national graphic guy.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. We're going to change the colors on our logo to red and blue. To nice. Match that, and we'll do that for 18 months. And any
cool.
company that wants in on that, there'll be a contest and a significant prize for the logo that's chosen as the most patriotic.
Well, I don't need a prize, but I definitely want to see if we can figure out a way to get KDXU's logo, red, white, and blue, and get that 250 incorporated too. So
I would love it. Let's give Town Square a call. Start making changes now.
We need somebody with a lot of graphic art talent. We don't want you and I doing it. We'll get somebody who's really good.
Well, here's the beautiful part, Andy. I've already talked to a graphic artist who has set it up, so she'll for like $35 take your logo, change the colors, incorporate the other logo, and give you three versions, and then allow you to change. And so
nice.
we're making sure that we can give a path of least resistance for businesses that want to participate.
I love it. Well, and we'll take the $35 out of Stockton's salary.
I think that's fair.
I mean, if he can blow $400 on a Roomba, why not, right?
Right. I totally agree.
All right. You brought Lieutenant Bergquist in to talk about something happening today. Tell us about that, guys.
Yeah. So we have our Salute to America today. And Salute to America we do each July. And a year ago, we decided, you know what, let's take this event and let's put it around first responders. And so each year we recognize first responders in Southern Utah. Last year was our fire departments. This year will be our police departments.
Nice.
And we're just there to honor them, celebrate the great thing they do for our community to keep us safe and to keep this community humming along like it is. And then we take all of the profit from the event and we give it to our partners over at StatPax, which is a Washington City based company that develops backpacks that have first aid and medical equipment, first responder equipment inside of them. They're not inexpensive. They're anywhere from $400 to thousands of dollars for each backpack, depending on what's inside of them. And so we take the profit, give it to them, and they 10x that profit and the money we give them, and they give backpacks all around the county. So we'll hopefully have more and more of our officers with these stat packs, which are really important when they show up to accidents and respond to people's homes. These backpacks are crucial in helping them have the proper equipment to respond.
Now, Aaron, I had somebody told me once, they said, you know, when you get scared, something bad happens. Don't look at the people running away from it. Look at the people running toward the emergency. That's guys like you.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do, and we're excited to partner with the chamber on this. The medical supplies that he's talking about is a critical expense for us, and it's not just benefiting the St. George Police Department, but the whole Washington County law enforcement altogether. But we do significant training with medical equipment. That's something probably new in the last decade or so that law enforcement and military has really increased the amount of training that we do with being able to handle some critical blood loss, some gunshot wound, that type of medical stuff.
You guys are quite often, way before the paramedics or EMTs get there, the police officers are there. So that's got to be, like you said, it's got to be really critical to know, at the very least, the basics of what you need to do to keep someone alive until the medical professionals get there.
Yeah, even in my career, I've seen a significant improvement in that, and we've been able to save citizens on significant car crashes with tourniquets and with some of the knowledge that we've been training over the years with this type of medical equipment.
Awesome. Tell us about the event, Sean.
So it goes from 11:30 to 1 today, and 11:30 to 12 is registration and lunch, and then we kick off from there, and we'll obviously recognize all of our sponsors and the people who've made this possible, and recognize our officers, and we have officers coming from 6 or 7 different departments or offices. Yeah. I guess when you talk about the sheriff's office, it's office, not department, since they're elected to that position.
But I believe Washington City, St. George City, Washington County.
Yeah, we're going to have Springdale there, Hurricane, Utah Tech. So it should be a good group of officers that we'll have there. And then a lot of our chamber members will be there as well. We'll have a panel with our police chiefs from Hurricane, Washington, and St. George. And Councilman Ivey's going to moderate that. And then our keynote speaker is Commissioner Snow. When I think of an individual who I've heard speak about patriotism and it's inspired me, Commissioner Snow's up at the top of that list, and so I reached out to him and
I agree.
Brought him in on that. He's a big American historian, so I'm interested in hearing what stories he'll tell today. So,
Officer or Lieutenant, keep doing that.
Either one. It's
Tell us a little bit about the camaraderie. You mentioned all the different police departments, and the fact of the matter is, if something happens big in the county, you guys oftentimes have to work side by side with these other departments. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, it happens fairly frequently that we will partner on investigations or on big incidents. Just recently, last month in June, we trained with quite a few different departments with Utah Tech and did active shooter training on their campus there. And that was quite a big event. But that's probably one of the biggest that we would all come together and really need to kind of know what's happening, and as those get so confusing and so kind of out of control. And so that training that we do countywide with that type of an incident is critical. And it's not just law enforcement. We often bring in our medical and our fire and everybody that would be involved in that type of an incident.
You know, with everything surrounding, of course, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, a lot of people are critical about, you know, the what happened right before it and with the shooter on the roof and everything. But one thing that I think is lost in all is the fact that there were a lot of Secret Service and other military first responders who were willing to take the bullet, willing to sacrifice for Donald Trump. You guys, on a daily basis, when you put the uniform on in the morning and the flak jacket and you head to work, I mean, that's a reality for every one of you officers every day. Is that something you think about? Is that something you pledged to when you were young?
Yeah, when we come into this profession, we kind of take that code of ethics, and then the training that we get and the equipment that we get is kind of, that's just the known in our profession, and we kind of hold what we would say the priorities of life are and any of those incidents, and we will always put the innocence in front of our own, and then the suspects or the criminals past us. But
it'd be an ultimate motivator, I guess, for you every day. Like when you're shooting training or physical training or whatever it is, it's got to be somewhere in the back of your mind, huh?
Yeah, I think that it is for most law enforcement, and it keeps you sharp. There's a lot of training and physicalness that goes into being ready, mental preparedness to be ready for that moment when it happens that you don't think, and then you just react and follow your training.
A lot of those decisions that you have to make before you ever get to them. You know, I mean, it's already there. You already know what you're going to do.
Yeah,
and that's sobering sometimes, I think, probably, huh?
Yeah, most law enforcement, we play this, we call it a what-if game, and then my whole career, almost 20 years now, I've been doing this what-if game. What if this happens, then I'm going to do this. What if that happens, then I'm going to do that. What if you do this right now, what am I going to do?
Right.
And then that kind of sharpens that mental ability to react.
Amazing. And again, Sean, for you guys to put together a program with the proceeds honoring and helping, first of all, the whole program is honoring these guys, and then with the proceeds helping them do their job better. I think that's just a really cool deal that you put together. Again, 11:30 today. Where are we going
to
be at?
It's over at the Hilton Garden Inn next to the convention center.
Right next to the convention center.
Yeah.
Show up at 11:30, and how much are we paying to get in?
So we were $40 a ticket,
It's sold out. So I'm sitting there trying to sell it, but
don't worry about selling it. We're good. We're totally sold out, but okay. We're going to have Utah Mobile Advertising's bringing their big mobile advertising truck, and they'll be parked out front playing patriotic music, and
nice.
We have a graphic that
they'll have on there. That's a truck with the sign that they can change on it. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so we got lots of cool things that we put together for today that I think should be inspiring and should have a lot of fun. I get stressed out before the events. This morning I woke up really excited about this event. So
yeah, you weren't stressed?
Great.
I wasn't. Oh. Surprisingly, I wasn't stressed. I woke up and I'm like, hey, I think we're locked in on this one. Like, let's go.
Now, Aaron, how did you get involved with this?
You know, Sean and I have worked on a couple projects together, and we often partner with the Chamber. They're such a resource to us in St. George specifically, but also law enforcement as a whole. And so he approached me a couple months ago, and we started kind of helping out. I haven't done much with it. Sean's done most of it.
That's our job.
But we're so fortunate here in Southern Utah, particularly in law enforcement. We've got such community support, and we enjoy some things that other jurisdictions in the country don't enjoy. And so we're fortunate.
Agreed. We love our law enforcement here in Southern Utah for sure.
Do we have a moment for me to add a little color to that?
Please do. Yeah.
So about a month ago, we had Chief Williams and Officer Hepler out from Washington.
Chief Williams, Washington City Chief.
Washington City Chief, and then Officer Hepler.
Johnny,
Johnny. He's
I can't call him Officer. He's just Johnny to me.
He's a lieutenant, too.
Yes.
Is he? Oh.
He tells me to not call him either. He says he's trying to infiltrate the chamber undercover and figure out what we got going on over there.
I'm pretty sure he's done that.
Yes. But they were up and speaking about everything law enforcement and the things they're doing to keep our community safe. After the event, I had an individual who was a president of the chamber in Long Beach, California for like 27 years. And he just recently moved here. His name's Randy. He's fantastic, high energy guy, really neat guy. And Randy said to me, you know, that is a very different feeling from these types of meetings in California. And he said they didn't have the opportunity to really, dive in the way we did and express the appreciation. And he's like, it's great to see a community rally behind their law enforcement and truly appreciate what they're doing. He, coming from California, not felt that in a long time. So we have something really special going on here in Southern Utah.
Absolutely. We do. We're so lucky to have law enforcement that, you know, and one of the things I like, Spear Academy, by the way, going on right now. In, I think, was it Dixie High this week, and then Pine View, and then Snow Canyon the next couple of weeks. But your effort to reach out to the community and be a part, you know, we've talked about it before, but a lot of times young people don't have a great experience with law enforcement because maybe the only time they've ever seen them is if they did something wrong or if their parents are fighting or whatever. So just the fact that you guys reach out and try to be involved with people's lives and show them that law enforcement is a good thing.
Yeah, we really have the past several years really tried to make an effort to move forward with our community outreach. and all the different communities within the community, to make them feel welcome here, and that they understand what it is that we're trying to do. We're trying to protect everybody and ensure that everybody has their rights, and it's not any one particular community that we care over the other. It's everybody.
Well, whoever came up with IMSGPD deserves a raise.
That's good. Hashtag IMSGPD.
Incredible.
Is that Tiffany? Does she get credit for that?
She was definitely on the ground floor of that
okay.
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, guys, thanks for coming in. Good luck with your event today. I know that it's sold out, so I can't. I really want to invite people to go, but it's full. But it's a great event. And if you're wondering what's going on at the Hilton Garden Inn today at 11:30 to 1, then you, at least now we know what's going on. And
when there's all the police vehicles there, don't let it stress you out.
Yeah, there's nothing bad going on. This is a good thing. Thank you guys for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Eddie.
All right, we're going to do a real quick check of weather, and then we'll have Celeste Malloy on. She is out at the Republican National Convention. That's coming up right after this quick break.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 933 on KDXU. I have the pleasure of having Celeste Malloy, Congresswoman from Utah, on the phone with me. Hi, Celeste. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you this morning?
Great. Now, you are in Milwaukee, right?
I'm in Milwaukee, and I wish I could take all of your listeners and take them into that convention center with me. This is my first national convention, so I don't know what it's usually like, but I'm guessing this one's better than usual. Energy is just really high. Everybody's really united, and Republicans are the most optimistic I've seen us in years.
It's been electric from what I understand. Tell me about the moment. And we had Larry Myers on. You probably rubbed shoulders with Larry a little bit here as part of the Utah delegation. We had him on a little bit earlier. But I asked him about the feeling of when Donald Trump walked into the arena for the first time. And I'll ask you, what was the feeling on the floor there? What was the feeling in your heart as Donald Trump walked in, given the events of the last week?
Well, I have to admit, I watched that one online, the same as everyone in Utah.
Okay.
Because I had been told he wasn't coming in, and I got here on a red eye Sunday night. My flight out of St. George got delayed. You all know you were in St. George on Sunday. Between the fires and the thunderstorm that came in, my flight wasn't going to leave on time. So I had to drive all the way to Salt Lake, get on a red eye to Chicago, and then get down here. So by Monday night, I was about dead, and I left a little bit early to get ahead of the crowd and left right before he walked in. So all of a sudden it was all over Twitter and we were all glued to our phones, but I didn't get to see that one live, although I was there yesterday when he was there, and I was there when J.D. Vance came in for the first time. And this crowd is just super excited. Everybody's very positive. You probably saw that Nikki Haley spoke last night.
Mm-hmm.
And when she first got up there, there was a little bit of booing. And then she said, I'm 100% behind Donald Trump. And the crowd was just so positive and so excited and went nuts. And she spoke to people who had reservations about President Trump and invited them to stay on the team and reminded them that the alternative is not good. And it just, it's been a very unifying, uniting convention.
That is so good to hear. It really is, especially considering what happened last week. We'll talk a little bit about what happened last week in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
and Congress's effort to get to the bottom of things, of why it happened the way that it happened. But let's continue talking about the convention a little bit. J.D. Vance, about 8 years ago, was pretty critical of Donald Trump. Now he's going to be Donald Trump's running mate. What did you see in Vance? How has it been sorted out in your mind after considering what are the kind of caustic comments he made about Trump a few years ago?
I think this just shows that in politics, you really do have to have thick skin and a short memory.
Mm.
And I don't think President Trump gets credit for that as often as he deserves it. So, yeah, J.D. Vance was pretty critical a few years ago. He hasn't been in the last few years, and he spent more time around President Trump. And now they're going to run on a ticket together. And it's a good reminder. I mean, I talk about this all the time, but politics are tough. Anyone who's willing to put their name on a ballot has to be tough.
Yeah.
And sometimes we run against our own party. And then after that's over, we all have to get back on the same page because we are the same party. And I think Nikki Haley was a good example of that. I think J.D. Vance is a good example of that. We've got a lot of good examples right now in the Republican Party of where we've traditionally had some friction, and we're all united at the moment.
Yeah, speaking of Nikki Haley, of course, she debated President Trump, and she was so critical of him, and she actually, I think, made the statement, maybe not exactly this, but she said something to the effect, I'd never support this guy, and then here she is supporting him. You know, I just look at Nikki Haley, and I think, so what changed? Any thoughts on that?
I don't know for sure what's going on in her head. My guess is that what changed is when you're in a race with somebody, you have to run to win. And she probably got caught up in that race and said some things that now that the race is over and he won, cooler heads are prevailing. And she probably thought, yeah, I not supporting him doesn't make any sense. There's no reason to double down on that. The other alternative is supporting Joe Biden. That doesn't make any sense.
Not at all. No, it does not. And that's kind of one of, you mentioned it a minute ago. That's kind of one of the funny things is we all are pitted against each other in you know, in these primaries and debates and things like that. And then when it comes time to, okay, we're on the same team now, and it's either, you know, I support this guy or I support the way the country has been run the last 3.5 years, and it hadn't been good.
And the last 3.5 years have not been good. There's plenty of reason not to support President Biden because of the policies he's already implemented. But then there's also a lot of reason not to support him going forward. Aside from that, that debate showed that he is not mentally competent.
Yeah.
I think the two images that will forever define this presidential cycle are President Biden standing on a stage looking lost and confused during a debate, mm-hmm. and President Trump standing on a stage with his fist in the air moments after someone tried to shoot him in the head and came very close. He's got blood running down his face. And those are the kind of moments where you don't have a lot of time to think about what you're doing. You don't have time to plan a PR response. You don't have time to think through the optics. You just react. And people learn in those moments who you really are. And I think Trump showed us that he really is a fighter. He really is defiant in the face of hate. And I think America sorely needed that. And if you look at the way we've responded since Saturday, people are proud to be Americans right now. Seeing an American president stand on a stage with his fist in the air was just good for all of us. Gave us something to rally around.
You know, and just you know, my personal reaction, when I saw the video, I didn't see it live, but I saw it shortly after it happened. And when he grabbed his ear and then he went down, and honestly, I didn't know anything else at that point. Obviously, we know a lot of stuff now, but at that point, I had no idea how badly he was hurt. What the effects were going to be, and to have him get up and pump his fist and say, fight for America. And you know, just to me, it was like, okay, things are going to be okay. Things are going to be all right. And I was pretty worried up to that moment.
And don't forget, he didn't know anything at that point either. He didn't know there was only one shooter.
Right.
He didn't know that the shooter had been taken out. He had Secret Service around him trying to hustle him off the stage. That's their job. And I've heard people criticize him and say, you know, Trump made it all about himself. He really didn't. If he wanted it to be all about him, he'd have gotten off that stage. He'd have let them put him in a secure location and let the people at the rally figure it out for themselves.
Yeah.
But he stood on the stage. He stayed there, put his fist in the air, and encouraged everyone to fight. And I think this may turn into this generation's Mr. Gorbachev take down that wall moment. It was something we needed in a country that's been divided, where we've done a lot of bickering. That was something we can all believe in. Nobody wants political violence. Nobody wants somebody to be able to get on a roof and shoot our presidential nominee. And nobody wants other innocent people to get shot just because they went to a political rally. And he was defiant in the face of that. And I think it just healed some wounds in our country.
I have a friend from high school who she is incredibly liberal, just about as liberal as it gets. But I remember her posting right after it happened, this is not a time for jokes. This is not a time for partisanism. This is not a time for I hate Trump and I love Biden or whatever it is. This is a time when we all come together and say this is not okay. Someone making an assassination attempt on a political candidate is not okay. And I was pretty impressed by that. Even though I don't agree with this person's politics, the fact that they were, and we have plenty of examples of people not taking the high road on that. But in that moment, sure, for me, that was important. That was big.
I agree. I think that I saw some really disappointing social media posts quickly after too, but the majority of Americans just didn't countenance that at all. The people I saw got shouted down quickly. Everybody, you know, Barack Obama, everybody sort of coalesced on, like, this is wrong and we should all be upset. The other thing I've been impressed with, and I almost hesitate to even bring this up because I don't want to jinx this, but it hasn't devolved into a gun control battle either, which is usually what happens after, yeah, you know, any sort of tragedy. And I think we've just chosen as a country to be above the bickering this time and to stand united as Americans. And I'm really excited to see it. And the President Trump has responded, I think, perfectly. He's talking about unity. He's staying controlled and on message. We are seeing the absolute best of Donald J. Trump and the absolute best of America right now, and we needed it.
And by the way, just for the record, our current president at the NAACP speech he gave did try to sneak a little gun control. It's not okay. Everybody's mad about this. They should be mad about all gun stuff. And I was like, all right, here it goes, you know. But anyway, that was a little bit disappointing. I wanted to ask you, though, as we're on this topic, there was a congressman who one of his staffers wrote something that was very inflammatory, something about the shooter should have trained more and too bad he missed or whatever. That staffer was fired immediately, which was the right move. But Celeste, as a congresswoman, how important is it for you to have staffers that you can trust, that you know won't do something stupid like that, that actually reflect what you're about as a congressperson?
It is impossible to overstate how important that is. And I have a unique perspective on this because I've been both a congresswoman and a staffer. Mm-hmm. And I tell people this all the time. Being a staffer is unlike any job I've ever had because you own another person's decisions. And you don't always get a say in their decisions, but you have to completely own them and defend them. And any staffer who's willing to say something like that in a time of national tragedy should get fired and should definitely be denounced. And I saw that happen quickly. So I saw the same post was like, ha ha, we shouldn't, you know, shoot people. But if you're going to do it, for crying out loud, train so you don't miss. And I thought, what a crass thing to say at a time like this.
Yeah.
But so did the internet. You know, sometimes the internet is a cesspool of hate, but that got quickly condemned. The staffer got quickly fired. I feel like we stepped up in some ways on Saturday that are making me feel really positive about the future. We stepped up as a nation.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That brings me, though, to the idea of safety. Now, Celeste, you're in a very public job. You're a congressperson in the United States of America. We know the president and former president, they have Secret Service detail, and I guess finally they're going to start giving Robert F. Kennedy Jr. some Secret Service as well. But as far as I know, Congress people don't have a Secret Service detail. How worried are you now, given there are cycles like this idiot that did what he did in Pennsylvania? How concerned are you now about safety and about protection?
I was on a security briefing on Sunday morning with my colleagues and the sergeant at arms. And you're right. Members of Congress don't have security details unless you are the Speaker of the House or the majority leader. Some leadership positions do. The other 430 something of us are, you know, we're just citizens. We fly commercial. We travel in rental cars. And there's some risk associated with that. I'm actually a little nervous about being on the radio telling everyone I don't have any security. But the truth is, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to be safe, but I'm not going to be scared. And talking to my colleagues, they all feel the same way. I mean, obviously, some of the members of the House are former law enforcement and former military, and they feel like they have training that helps them. And then there's, you know, some of us that have no training whatsoever. But I spend most of my time traveling with people who don't know who I am. And then traveling around the district, I'm with friends. I'm with my constituents. I'm with Utahns who we may disagree. We may bicker over politics, but we take care of each other. So it's not something I'm worried about. And this convention has more law enforcement presence than the Hilton Garden Inn has today. So we are surrounded. And I've sort of made a game out of every time I see a group of law enforcement that isn't Capitol Police, I ask them where they're from. And they came from all over the nation. We have people here from Kentucky and New Jersey, and I'm trading challenge coins with them and thanking them for being here. And they're all excited to be here. They're all seeing this optimism and this unity. So it's turned out what could have been a really tough week, what could have been a really bitter week, has turned out to be a really exciting one.
Could have been an awful week. Officer Bergquist was talking a few moments ago about the what if game, and I don't know that I want to even go here, but I'm going to anyway. What if that shot had not just gotten Donald Trump's ear, but had actually been on target? Where would we be as a Republican Party right now and as a nation?
I don't know. I hate to even think about it because I had to play the what if game on Saturday as well. I was playing tour guide for one of my colleagues who was in Utah for the Ways and Means hearing that committee had Friday in Salt Lake. And Nicole Malliotakis from New York said, I don't want to fly all the way back to New York just to turn around and fly to Milwaukee. So she spent the weekend in Utah, and I was showing her around. We were driving to Park City, and she just got a text from her mom that said Trump's been shot. And then we didn't have service for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
And we actually thought her mom was wrong. We thought it was kind of one of those crazy, somebody said it on the internet things. But it gave us some time to think through, okay, we have one presidential nominee who's senile or appears to be, and the other one hasn't named a running mate yet. And if someone shot him and he's gone, what happens next? And I'm not sure anyone knows the answer to that. And what really scared me is I'm not sure there's anyone we trust enough anymore in politics or government that could give us the answer, and we would all just accept that that's the answer of what should happen next. So I got asked by the Deseret News whether I think there was divine intervention saving President Trump's life. And I have to say, yes, I think there was. I mean, that shot was so close. And our nation is in this moment where we're trying to figure out who we are. And I think that might have been too much for us. And I think God intervened and saved us from that what-if scenario. And for that, I'm very grateful.
I just got word that Trump and Vance are going to hold a rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan this weekend. Really, another rally right now? I'm scared for him. And I'm sure that security will be heightened and everything will be fine. I say I'm sure. I'm not sure. I'm actually nervous about that. Any thoughts on that? And then we'll wrap up with the talk about the convention. But first, any thoughts on another rally for Trump Advance now?
I think it's great that they're doing it. I think Americans need to be out and participating in the political process. I think we don't need everybody hunkering down and being scared and paranoid.
Yeah.
And President Trump has been so good about that. And the Secret Service knows that the House is investigating. They know the Senate's going to look into them. I'm guessing that they are going to be on their A game between now and those hearings, because the last thing they want is any more screw-ups before they have to come be grilled by Congress. So I think it's a good idea, and I think it's going to be okay.
Any thoughts, by the way, just real quick, on the investigation into the Secret Service and the fact that this shooter was, by some reports, on that rooftop for more than 30 minutes before it happened? And what is Congress going to do? What is your responsibility now in trying to get to the bottom of things?
Yeah, this is kind of a weird situation, because as the legislative branch, we do have a responsibility to exercise oversight over the executive branch, which is where Secret Service is. But generally, the executive branch has a high incentive to protect their own. So we're looking into how the executive branch failed the executive branch. So these hearings should be exciting. They're for a law nerd. there will be some fun jurisdictional stuff going on for people who just like politics. It should be exciting. And there's a lot of information out there right now about what happened on Saturday, and I don't know yet how much of it's true. And so having hearings will be important for accountability, but I think it'll also be good for America just to hear some of the actual answers, to get the truth of what broke down, what we're going to do to fix it.
I just got a text. Somebody said the head of the Secret Service should be fired, and we're not going to go into Director Tittle or anything like that. And I'm sure you guys will find out more, but it sure seemed like there was a big, big oversight at that rally, for sure. All right,
tell you, whoever sent that text is saying the same thing a lot of members of Congress are saying.
Yeah, yeah. Back to the convention now. President Trump set to speak tomorrow. What do you think he's going to say? What's the feeling going to be in the next 48 hours?
So the word on the street, and I'm sure you've all heard it, is that he rewrote his speech to really talk about unity and how to move forward as a country. I have every reason to believe that's true, and I think it's going to be exciting. I'm excited to watch it. He's been here at convention. He's been sitting with his family. You know, the cameras have been showing his reactions to things, but he hasn't spoken yet. And the excitement is just building and building and building. And I think he's also cleverly setting up a contrast for when Democrats have their convention next month. Is President Biden going to be there? Is he going to be attending? Is he going to be putting in the long hours? So I'm excited for his speech. I do think he's going to talk about unity, and I do think it's a message that is timely.
I think the answer to your question about Biden is he's physically will probably be there. Mentally, the jury's still out on that one. So
yeah, and can he handle the cameras panning to him all the time during speeches and showing his reactions? The debate would seem to indicate not.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Celeste, you know you're welcome on the show any time, and I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us today. It was kind of nice not having a time crunch. Sometimes I say, oh, she got 5 minutes, she got 7 minutes, she got 9 minutes. But today we were able to just chat, and it's been a wonderful talk. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
Okay, enjoy the convention. I know you will. KDXU News Time is 9:54. We're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We'll be back to wrap the show up after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Got less than 2 minutes left. Thanks again for tuning into the program today. Larry Myers was on, Celeste Malloy was on, Sean Christensen, Lieutenant Aaron Bergquist, and even Stockton Myers. Hi, Stockton.
Hello. Right.
Just your thoughts real quick on some of the things that Celeste Malloy said about security. We're still learning. Every day we're learning a little bit more about what happened on Saturday. How would you like to be a congressperson now that goes in and has to investigate who failed and what went wrong?
I mean, not in a million years. You couldn't pay me all the money in the world to take on that absolute ginormous bomb waiting to blow up. Because I don't know. It's clearly someone messed up. It's just, I don't want to be that guy. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. It's I think we're going to find out some things. I think, like Celeste said, there's more than just the person that texted. There's a lot of people saying they need to fire the Secret Service director because that was a major breach. We'll see what happens from there. As far as security is concerned, I know Stockton and I, we don't give out our home addresses. Actually give out my phone number. I don't mind people calling me, but, Celeste Malloy says, I don't really have a security detail. I will say this, folks. I think there is a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff we don't know about with Congress people. But, it's something we shouldn't have to be afraid of in America.
Sure.
Sadly, we are.
Yeah. So,
thanks, Stockton. It's time to move on. Thanks for tuning in today. Tomorrow, we've got Nanette Billings on the show. We'll talk to you then.